One Basket by Edna Ferber. Chapter 1. The Woman Who Tried to Be Good. Before she tried to be a good woman, she had been a very bad woman. So bad that she could trail her wonderful apparel up and down Main Street, from the Elm Tree Bakery to the railroad tracks, without once having a man doff his hat to her or a woman bow. You passed her on the street with a surreptitious glance, though she was well worth looking at, in her furs and laces and plumes. She had the only full-length mink coat in our town, and Gans's shoe store sent to Chicago for her shoes. Hers were the miraculously small feet you frequently see in stout women. Usually she walked alone, but on rare occasions, especially round Christmas time, she might have been seen accompanied by some silent, dull-eyed, stupid-looking girl who would follow her dumbly in and out of stores, stopping now and then to admire a cheap comb or a chain set with flashy imitation stones, or, queerly enough, a doll with yellow hair and blue eyes and very pink cheeks. But alone or in company, her appearance in the stores of our town was the signal for a sudden jump in the cost of living. The storekeepers mulcted at her, and she knew it and paid in silence, for she was of the class that has no redress. She owned the house with the closed shutters near the freight depot, did Blanche Devine. In a larger town than ours, she would have passed unnoticed. She did not look like a bad woman. Of course, she used too much makeup, and as she passed, you caught the over-sweet breath of a certain heavy scent. Then, too, her diamond ear drops would have made any woman's features look hard, but her plump face, in spite of its heaviness, wore an expression of good-humored intelligence, and her eyeglasses gave her somehow a look of respectability. We do not associate vice with eyeglasses. So in a large city she would have passed for a well-dressed, prosperous, comfortable wife and mother who was in danger of losing her figure from an overabundance of good living. But with us she was a town character like old man Gibbons the drunkard, or the weak-minded Ben's girl. When she passed the drugstore corner, there would be a sniggering among the vacant-eyed loafers idling there, and they would leer at each other and jest in undertones. So, knowing Blanche Devine as we did, there was something resembling a riot in one of our most respectable neighborhoods when it was learned that she had given up her interest in the house near the freight depot and was going to settle down in the white cottage on the corner and be good. All the husbands in the block, urged on by righteously indignant wives, dropped in on Alderman Mooney after supper to see if the thing could not be stopped. The fourth of the protesting husbands to arrive was the very young husband who lived next door to the corner cottage that Blanche Devine had bought. The very young husband had a very young wife, and they were the joint owners of Snooky. Snooky was 3 going on 4, and looked something like an angel, only healthier and with grimier hands. The whole neighborhood borrowed her and tried to spoil her, but Snooky would not spoil. Alderman Mooney was down in the cellar fooling with the furnace. He was in his furnace overalls, a short black pipe in his mouth. 3 protesting husbands had just left, as the very young husband, following Mrs. Mooney's directions, descended the cellar stairs. Alderman Mooney looked up from his tinkering. He peered through a haze of pipe smoke. "Hello!" he called, and waved the haze away with his open palm. "Come on down. Been tinkering with this blame furnace since supper. She don't draw like she ought. Long toward spring a furnace always gets balky. How many tons you use this winter?"
"Oh, 5. Said the very young husband shortly.
Alderman Mooney considered it thoughtfully. The young husband leaned up against the side of the water tank, his hands in his pockets.
"Say, Mooney, is that right about Blanche Devine's having bought the house on the corner?"
"You're the 4th man that's been in to ask me that this evening. I'm expecting the rest of the block before bedtime. She bought it all right."
The young husband flushed and kicked at a piece of coal with the toe of his boot.
"Well, it's a darn shame," he began hotly. "Jen was ready to cry at supper. This'll be a fine..."